Something I've been thinking on for a good while, but really hadn't put down on paper too much till recently. And I guess the main question is, where did you come from? And that could be answered a lot of ways, I suppose. You could do that by state or by town or by family, maybe something of that nature, maybe some other institution. But I was thinking about this, and I want to ask it this way: are you from God? And I think most of you would say yes. Did God create you? We would say yes. Educated people today would say no. The PhD'd would say you're an accident of nature or a product of evolution, that it came out from the Big Bang and it's evolved for billions of years, and that you're just basically an animal and you are no different than a worm or an amoeba or a goat or anything of that nature. They would cite their, the educated would cite their reasoning because of their education, and then they would put out various facts and figures and things of that nature. But I want to talk to you about spirit. We don't see spirit. I suppose we feel it, but it's not tangible. It's not something we can put our finger on and we can say this right here. It's this. But yet, God is a spirit. The Bible says in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, just that plain and that simple. Did you realize the word spirit occurs 505 times in the Bible? That's more than faith and love, than faith or love. The idea of spirit is a constant theme throughout Scripture. And God is a spirit. Now, God's also love, and God's other different things, but one of the simple descriptions of God is that He is a spirit. That's what He is, and I believe that's the beginning, and that's where it all came from. The word spirit's an interesting word, and if you look at the in the Greek, the word is pneuma, and that comes exactly where you might think from the idea of pneumonia or breath. That's the idea behind the word, and if you look at the first definition here, a current of air. It's obviously a pretty long definition. There's a couple other things that stick out to me, figuratively as a spirit or the rational soul, the vital principle, mental disposition, those kinds of things. And then some of the other further down the list, angels, demons, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, etc. What is God? He's a spirit. God is breath. He's the vital principle. He's rational soul. God is life, is what God is. And I believe there was never a Big Bang that wasn't a part of God's plan. I don't know how it all began. When God said, "Let there be light," I don't know if that's what scientists today want to call a Big Bang. I don't believe in a Big Bang the way they do. Scientists believe there was a Big Bang and it happened. It was an accident, a cosmic accident that happened, and that's why you're here. I believe life is on purpose, and we're here today because God essentially is life. That's what He is. He's a living, rational being. And I believe that's what God is. And it's probably the most difficult thing to describe, what He is. So, what are you then? In the book of John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now notice verse 3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." We'll come back to this after a while, but I want you to just think about this. And the very basics of the idea, God is a spirit, and in the beginning was the Word, which we know later on in verse 14 was Jesus, the Son of God. So we have the Word with God. We have in the beginning a Spirit who creates everything that was made in verse 3. And this seems to be one of the most simple things about life is life begets life. And we can see that because any of us who are parents, we see children born, and as I get older, the generations come and another generations, the older generations pass on. It's just exactly how it goes. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, this is one of the key scriptures in this study. Furthermore, he says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? God is the Father of spirits. He produces spirits. He created Adam and Eve in the beginning, and he formed them, and they married and began having children. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and that's exactly what happened. And down through the ages, we got to the flood, and there was a setback there, but there's been billions. I've read 7 billion people on earth. And every one of those people is a spirit that God has created because he's the Father of all spirits. And we, unfortunately, we look at life most generally as flesh. And that causes a lot of problems. Because flesh leads to worldliness. That's what the flesh does. But the spirit tends to life. And those things that the spirits pursue. Acts 17 verse 28, he says, for in him, that's in God, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are the product of God. The book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Think about this cold body that God has formed. He calls it man. And it's laying there, and it doesn't do anything. It's not animated. It's not breathing. All the parts are there in Adam. And he lacks one thing. And God breathed into him the breath of life. He gave that man life. He gave that body life. From the Hebrew, neshama, and it's very similar to the word spirit, a puff, a wind, angry or vital breath, divine inspiration. He gave Adam spirit. And when he gave him spirit, that flesh became alive, and he became a man with a soul. That's God's creation. And we're made in the image of God, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man is body, spirit, and soul. And so God gave him life there, and that was a life that he was to live. Notice in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto all nations. God, he knew him there. He knew what he was. He knew the kind of man he was going to be. He had the power to put in that belly of that woman a spirit into a body. He says, I knew you there, and I put you there. Why are you? Well, you. Why wasn't Britt Doty born in Africa? Why not Jason in Russia? Why wasn't Garland born in 1750? My mind wonders. I drive down the road. I wonder why. Why here? Why were you born to the parents you have? Why weren't you born to some other group? Why was you born to poor parents or rich parents? Who makes those choices and decisions? Is it just an accident? Evidently God, not, because God looked at Jeremiah and said, I knew what you were. And I believe God has put us in the place he has put us, And he's made you you because he knows that's what's best. That's what's best. Proverbs 20 verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Evidently, we're a little piece of God. We're his creation. We're his child. That's the way he describes it over and again. Number three, you are a spirit. And if you are a spirit, then you're from God. You are a spirit. I've thought about this a whole bunch, and it's not an easy thing to describe in some ways, but when Daph had the gallbladder surgery, they put her to sleep. And you couldn't wake her up. When she come out, she was groggy and not herself, and I told her we was going to take that gallstone and set it in a ring and make her some pretty jewelry, and she said, okay, Daddy, that'll be fine. She wasn't herself. And people get a bump on the head, and they get knocked out, and they're not dead. Something so tragic happens to someone, a woman faints. Why is that? Is the spirit there? Well, sure. But the body's not in control at that point. Things have to take a break. Sometimes situations so stressful, something's got to give. And even though we're asleep, we're still who we are. Even though we may be put under sedation, we're still who we are. It's a spirit that is who you are. You are spirit. That's the point. Josh, you're a spirit. You're not the guy who grins leading song. It ain't the body. It ain't our body that does those things. It's our spirits. In James 2 verse 26, he says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When we get put under anesthesia, we're not dead. But I'll tell you, when our spirit leaves our body, we're done. And our spirit will leave our body someday, because that's what spirits do. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, beginning in, or there in verse 8, the Bible says, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, was gathered to his people. What did he give up? Did he give up his body? Did he give up his soul? Oh, he gave up the spirit. Because that's what he was. He was a spirit. The word ghost, very similar to some of the other words we've looked at, but it means to breathe out, to expire, to let let life go. The book of Luke 23 verse 46, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. We all have spirit within us, and it's that spirit that gives us life. John 6 verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I guess maybe if there's any one thing you could take from this little short study, it is to try to look at life from spiritual eyes. If we looked at life more from the spiritual way, we probably wouldn't get tangled up in some of the things that we do that give us problems. Because most of the things that give us problems and difficulty, most of the things that tangle us up as far as sin goes, are things of the flesh. Pride's that way. Lust. All kinds of addictions and other things. Any pretty much sinful thing all goes back to those things. When we don't look at spirit and we don't dwell on our spirit. In the book of Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You know, we grow older and our body begins to decay. It begins to function less and less. I was looking at Raymond Jones the other day, They just whittled him down to less than he was. His nose and his ears, cancers eat away at him. The same old spirit's there. When we stand before God, that's what's going to be judged. The spirit's going to return there to be judged of him. Hebrews 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The body's not going to be judged. It's going to be the spirit that's going to go there to face that judgment. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 16, he says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. We focus so much on earthly things that when we stop and think about, we're not going to go to heaven to live in heaven like we live now. We ain't going to be worried about the thunder. They probably ain't going to win again. I'm sorry. We're going to be worried about the rain. We're going to be worried about whether or not we've got shoes to wear or clothes or can pay the bills. That's going to be different. And we got to think in a different way while we're here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, He hath made everything beautiful in his own time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. One of the problems in the world today is God has set things in motion and they just continue on and nobody lives long enough to figure it all out from beginning to end. That's why we've got to trust the Word of God and follow the Word of God. If we could look down the road and see how it's going to go and what things would be like, we might change. The book of Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So it begs the question. Are you rich toward God with your spirit? Are you generous to God with the things of the heart? So we can build up treasure stores. We can build up memories. We can spend all our time in any kind of pursuit of life. But really the only thing that counts in the end is the fact that your spirit and you need to have a relationship with God and be rich toward Him with that spirit. Because one of these days, God's going to call you home back to where you began in His arms. And that'll be the end. I ask you to get out your songbooks this evening. If we worship God the correct way, since He's a spirit, we do it from the heart. We do it with our spirits. We love Him. We can be rich toward Him today.